Welcome to the Dropping Dimes podcast. This is the 2 Cents Show. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And when we last spoke to our guest, the Fraser Valley Bandits of the CEBL had just finished their inaugural season. We were enjoying the last few days of the summer, and we were not in, in the midst of a pandemic that turned the world upside down. Fast forward to today, and after an exciting, grueling, and incredibly successful summer series, we are joined once again by the Vice President of the Fraser Valley Bandits, Dylan Kolar. Welcome back, Dylan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Rodrigo?
I'm great. Needless to say, it's been a crazy few months, especially for you guys. So I'm very excited to have a chance to talk to you all about this.
Yeah, no. Honestly, it was a huge moment in Canadian basketball history, and we're pretty proud to be the first Canadian professional league to return to play. I know that the CPL has now achieved that as well, and they're in the middle of their tournament. And of course, the NBA, NHL, and MLB have also successfully returned. And it's just great for people to obviously have some type of normality, especially during these times. And of course, it's tough what everyone's going through, but we're happy to at least provide that entertainment and normality for people in Canada.
Yeah, no, and you know, let's dig right in, because you started talking about it. Obviously, as a vice president, I'm sure you were part of the whole discussion about the bubble. So how did the CEBL bubble came to be?
Well, when the government first shut down, of course, everyone at the league office, it was a lot of pressure on just, okay, how are we going to adapt to this situation? What are we going to tell our fans? But what I would give credit to our league was we were very patient. We didn't rush to any conclusions, or we didn't rush to get a plan out. We just told everyone, you know what, we're taking our time. We're going to wait and get more information from the federal government and the health authorities and the regional health authorities, and try to better understand what's going on and make the best decision possible. And then we did that. And we managed to work very closely with the Ontario government and the Ontario regional health and the Niagara regional health, which is where we had our bubble. And it was really thanks to them that we were able to pull it off. A lot of strict protocols that were in place, and there's a lot of people behind the scenes, even during we don't really call it a bubble tournament. We actually had like 3 safe zones. It wasn't necessarily a bubble.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to enter the safe zones, yeah, there were strict policies in place on, if you were tested, obviously having that negative test, and then strict protocols that you have to adhere to, whether you're inside the safe zones or outside. We're very, very fortunate that we were able to pull off a successful tournament.
And I mean, as a fan myself, you know, I'm obviously subscribed to the Bandits newsletter, and I kept receiving updates from you guys. And, you know, that made us feel as fans of the sport and of the league, as we were part of the decision, not necessarily the decision, but part of the process. All the teams did the same, they did their own part. So it was not like you guys just abandoned the fans. You were letting them know how what was the plan. And yes, the season had originally been postponed, but you kept creating content. So there was still something to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of credit to the team at the front office of the Fraser Valley Bandits, with Andrew Stavery, does a great work with our marketing and communications. And we felt we did a very good job of, like, as you said, keeping everyone engaged and being very honest as well. Like, we didn't know what the future held for the season, and of like, we weren't going to rush to any conclusion or try to take a guess at what was going to happen. We told everyone, you know what, like, your investment's safe with us, whether you're a partner or a season ticket member. The league is safe as well. Like, the ownership group has guaranteed multiple years for a successful launch of this league. As all teams are owned by the league. And even though, you know what, this year was a hiccup year, it was a great year for exposure. And the league ownership sees this as a great opportunity to continue growing the league. And they're not worried about how this could affect the future of the league either.
And tell us, Dylan, what was the reaction from the Bandits, from the organization, to knowing that, you know, there was going to be the safe zones and the entire summer series tournament?
Everyone felt great, you know, because we knew everyone at CBL head office was going to put safety first, and they had to, especially how closely they were working with the Ontario government and Ontario health authorities. The most important thing for this entire tournament was safety, and we knew that they were going to put great protocols in place to keep front office staff, coaches, players, whatever, anyone involved with the tournament, in the summer series, in a place to be safe. And because we had that trust in the league, I know that everyone was just excited to return to play, because we're talking about months and months. Like, we talk about players who are playing overseas in some of the top leagues in the world, leagues getting shut down, and now they're coming back home to Canada, and they're also just sitting in limbo, not really sure what's going to happen with those leagues overseas, and really not sure what's going to happen with the CBL. And once we made that announcement that we were going to play the tournament, there's a lot of excitement around the league, and players are just happy to return to play.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I'm glad that everything worked out in their favor as well.
Yeah, no, it did. And it was great this season with the summer series, because there's a lot of talent that we might not have seen if we had a normal season, because of all the leagues shutting down earlier across in Europe and Asia and Americas. So it was a great opportunity for Canadians and people around the world to really see the type of talent that Canada has produced. Obviously, players outside the NBA, that these are some phenomenal players who are making a lot of great strides in very reputable leagues overseas.
We're going to talk a little bit about that, about the games themselves, because, man, well, they're exciting. But and I'm still sort of going through the emotions and reliving that, and my heart still gets excited about that. But we'll get to the games in a little bit. Dylan, how did Coach Kyle Julius of the Bandits, of course, prepare the players before going to the bubble? Because, you know, like you mentioned, all of this happened fairly fast, even though there was a lot of preparation behind the scenes and everything. But, you know, trying to get the team together, and also Coach Kyle Julius is his first season with the Bandits. It must have been a challenge to getting everyone ready before going to Niagara.
Well, something Kyle and I've talked about when, like, we're going through the hiring process, just bringing on a new head coach and general manager, and we end up going with Kyle. But just during the hiring process, like, we both agreed that we wanted to create like a developmental hub for players in the CBL here in the Fraser Valley. The CBL is still at a point where, you know, we're still a stepping stone for players to achieve greatness in other leagues. Like, we're not at a point where we are that premier league yet in the world. That is our long-term goal, of course.
Yeah.
But we have to be realistic in that we're not there yet. And we need players to have success in our league, develop in our league, and then go on to become great ambassadors for the league, and then have success in other leagues as well. And then as we develop as a league down the road, be that league that players want to strive to play in, as they would in for the Premier Leagues in Spain, or the Euro League, NBA, et cetera, or the NBL in Australia. So with that mindset, with us wanting to create that developmental hub, the moment we started signing players, we started getting them on training programs. We've created our group chats. We had that weekly dialogue with players. And even when we announced that the season was being postponed, or the start of the season was being postponed, we continued having those conversations with players. And we made sure that communication was it was key throughout the whole process. We don't want players also now thinking, like, what's happening with the season? Are we in limbo? But instead, okay, you know what? It is what it is. We're not sure what's going to happen, but we're still going to make sure that you guys develop as individuals, whether it be physically or your skills. We're going to continue working with you.
Yeah.
And we had all of our coaches working with all the players, going through their video from previous teams, going through the workouts, having players on Zoom chats, weekly Zoom chats, and quite early, like we're talking about February. And I believe that was a big reason why we were successful as a team, because we had that team chemistry developed so early, and the unity was there, and players were willing to do a lot for each other, because they all knew that they've been in this together for months before the summer series even tipped off.
Right. Yeah, no, I remember during the broadcast of the games, the Zoom calls with Coach Kyle were a big part of the narrative of the Bandits, you know, coming together and being prepared to head on the summer series.
Yeah, and I think it's honestly, it's so relatable to
really what everyone has had to adjust to, whether you're in business or even like high school, middle school students. Everyone has been in a similar situation where they had to adapt and go virtual now. Yeah. It was no different for us. It's just, I knew that, and we knew that it was going to be part of our success was to make sure that we built that unity prior to the summer series. And it was clear that we had that advantage on other teams.
For sure. And Dylan, you were in Niagara, you were there, you know, physically. What was it like to be in the, you know, quote unquote bubble, in the safe zones? How was it like for you?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was tough. It was definitely one of the toughest things that I've had to do, at least related to basketball. And even for the players, I can't even imagine what they were going through. Of course, everyone, once the game started, you really forget about really the stress and pressure of what the safe zones do to you. But being locked in the hotel room for example, we all arrived there, we had to go through our testing, we had to wait until everyone's test came back. We already had players who were in quarantine for multiple weeks, the players that were from outside the country. And that's tough for them, like not being able to, you're essentially in jail. and now having to perform at a high level after being in a hotel room locked up for 3 weeks. Of course, like we had like ellipticals and bikes in their rooms, like they're still active, but like for a player, like you've never gone through anything like this. And then having to perform at a high level against players, some very talented players from around the world and in Canada, it's something definitely very tough to overcome. So I just hats off to all the players for achieving what they did in the summer series. And for myself, of course, I wasn't playing, but yeah, it was a mental grind. Also making sure that players and people were adhering to the safety protocols that were in place, because of course the government and the health authorities were the government and health authorities were keeping a close eye on what was happening, because we were the first Canadian professional league to return to play. And of course you don't want anything to go wrong, especially with all the eyes that were on us.
That leads me to my next question. You just mentioned, you know, how grueling it was for the players and to stay, you know, under multiple weeks of quarantine, and even though they had access to equipment and all that, being active. But what about you? How many sleepless nights did you spend just, you know, confirming the team, arranging for travel, you know, make sure everyone is following the rules and all that?
There were definitely a lot of late nights. I would say every night was really late, and a lot of early mornings. And that's just because we're out in Ontario and our majority fan base is here in BC. So we had to still make sure people were engaged and had the information, were able to follow along. And honestly, I'm just so impressed with how like so many basketball groups, so many people in multiple communities across BC really came together to support the Bandits throughout the summer series. It was something that we're very grateful for. And as a result of that, every game that the Bandits were involved in had above average viewership relative to the rest of the summer series. And that's because everyone came together and they want to see this team be successful and this organization be successful, because it means a lot for basketball in British Columbia. And we're on a great path now because of that.
That is awesome news. I didn't know that, you know, the Bandits games had a slightly above average viewership. That's absolutely awesome. And I'm sure that when people hear this, they're going to be very proud of themselves as well for supporting the Bandits.
Yeah, and like, I'm telling you, like every basketball group was supportive in some way, and like from all the way up north to all the way back down to the border to Vancouver Island, all the way to the interior, every basketball group was engaged. Businesses, restaurants from across BC showing our national TV games and restaurants, etc. It was phenomenal, and we're looking forward to seeing what we can do all together in next season.
For sure, and let's talk about the tournament itself. So, the summer series was obviously fast and furious, right? There were games every other day, and it was a very short turnaround between games. And every game counted. There was no room for error, basically. So how did the Bandits prepare with such short recovery time in between games?
At least with recovery, like just knowing that there's such a big turnaround, like right away we made sure we had all the recovery systems that players needed to be successful, from like hip recovery systems, like those boot recovery systems, like Normatex, having round-the-clock physiotherapy available, athletic therapy available for all the players. And that was most important for us. Of course, we wanted to be successful, but we also didn't want anyone to get injured because, like I said, we are stepping stone for these players to achieve greatness in other leagues. And we need them to perform at a high level here. We need them to be able to get great footage. We need them to be able to play the whole summer series so they can get recognized from other coaches. Some of them already had contracts overseas or in the Americas. Yeah. And we need to make sure that they're able to lead the summer series, still feel, say, let's say 80-85%, yeah, and then go overseas and start competing in their other leagues. So, yeah, recovery was very important for us, and we wanted to make sure these players were set up for success post-summer series as well.
Wow. Yeah, no, that sounds very impressive, honestly. On the planning side and, you know, the tough mental aspect that everyone in there must have had throughout those weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure what other teams are doing, but I believe that a lot of things that we do as an organization are different from other organizations in the league. Like, I really believe we set ourselves apart in how we do with preparation and organization, and it's part of the reason why we were so successful this year.
For sure, yeah. And let's talk about that game against Ottawa, one of the newest teams in the league, that, in my opinion, became an absolutely instant classic. It was during the Eli Manning period that, you know, it went down to literally whoever gets the next basket wins. So what were your reactions to that very first thrilling Eli Manning from the Bandits? Because I can tell you personally, I stood up from my couch, I was pacing back and forth, and I had clammy palms. It was horrible. It was not pretty to see, but it was exciting.
I think that was one of the first ELM endings that were actually exciting in the tournament. Like, the first handful of games, there were blowouts, like 10-point victories, 10-plus-point victories, and that was really the first one that came down to the wire, and I think that really showed everyone what ELM can bring in terms of entertainment and excitement around the game of basketball. And, you know, for us, it was unfortunate the way it ended. Like, we're talking about putting one of our stronger players in a position to be successful where he's down low, he has his left hand hook shot, and it's literally like less than an inch from going in front rim, bounces out, they get the basket, they go down, they get fouled, they get free throws, and they win. And it was unfortunate, of course, that basket could have changed a lot for us in terms of rest for the tournament, but it is what it is, and it really helped us regain focus for the rest of the tournament, even though, yes, the next game it didn't go our way either, but both of our losses were by 6 or 8 points combined, and that's something we're very proud of. Like, we really focused on building a team that would get down and dirty on defense and really put their bodies on the line. I think we're one of the teams that led in taking charges. We also led in points off of turnovers. We really started on defense, and we built our team from there.
And you just mentioned the game right after that was against Hamilton. And it didn't go your guys' way either. So the game against Niagara, the, you know, quote-unquote hosts, was sort of crucial for the Bandits because they were facing elimination or a chance to secure their ticket into the playoffs. The latter part of the tournament, I should say. So was there ever concern around the team after losing those two games and facing potential elimination against Niagara?
No, definitely not. Like immediately after games, even during the games, we have our video coordinators breaking down film for us so we can attack them right away. But even just watching the games, like we're talking about, we lost again, losing both those games by combined 6 or 8 points. I think it was 8 points we lost combined by. And like, you're talking, really what that means is, you know what, there's only a few adjustments you could have made differently to win the game. And it's obviously a lot different when you lose by, say, 10 or more in a game. Yeah. You usually mean there's something bigger there. But when it's by a couple points, it's really just a few adjustments. And like I said, against Ottawa, putting one of our players who's very successful in the post, strong side, left hand, front rim and out. The Hamilton game, yeah, was definitely a game where we got down early. Like, we didn't do well in transition, allowing a lot of transition three-pointers, especially in the third quarter. And we put ourselves in a hole, and it was tough to get out of in that situation. But even then, we still put ourselves in a place to be successful because of Elam. Elam allowed us to potentially come back and win that game. And then now coming back on Niagara, we knew that both those games prior were games that we could have won. So there's nothing really phasing us to really do anything differently. We just
that was actually the game where the day prior, Cam Forte left the team for another contract. So now we're talking about losing someone who was producing 25 or 30 points for us a game and trying to find ways to adjust to that. But then how we responded by losing Cam just is a testament to the unity we have as a team and what we built months prior to the summer series, where you lose your best player, but we're still able to adapt quickly because of how well we've gelled and how well we know each other. And we managed to hold Niagara, I believe, to 57 points. We set a record for points allowed in that game on a back-to-back against Niagara and handled them pretty easily.
I mean, you have photographic memory because, yeah, the score was 57-70. And then not only that, but then the next game against Guelph, which was for the buy-in into the semifinals, you guys also dominated that game and you won that 84-70. Sorry. And those were very strong showings of the Bandits and, like you said, what the team was able to achieve.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's, again, the players put themselves through a very vigorous training program prior to the summer series. And then the coaching staff did a phenomenal job getting down and getting to breaking down film and understanding what mistakes we made and really getting our guys locked in for the next game. Because you're right, it was a quick turnaround. But it's just a testament to the players that Coach Kyle Julius brought in. A bunch of guys who are experienced professionals who've won championships in leagues across the world and who understand adversity. And really, if there's an issue, guys who are able to come together as a group and collectively solve it. And you don't need always the guidance and the hand-holding from the coach or GM to get them through it. Of course, Kyle's he's a phenomenal leader in his own right. But the people he brought in really took care of a lot of things by themselves because of the maturity and experience that they have.
And as if the game against Ottawa wasn't exciting enough, we had another exciting game against Hamilton in the semifinals where, you know, once again, there's me not only pacing back and forth, I was jumping, I was yelling at my computer. It was, my neighbors were probably concerned for my well-being. Because that one, that little stretch of like a minute, 2 minutes probably of the 11 ending time where the next basket, whoever scored the next basket was going to take the game. I was an absolute mess. My girlfriend was there with me and she asked me to calm down. I was like, I can't, I'm sorry. Like, I need them to win. So take us from your very professional perspective. How do you live that semifinal game against Hamilton?
Oh my, I'm not going to lie. The moment we won, I lost professionalism for a little bit. I ran on the court, hugged a few players, and I realized, oop, I should get off the court. It's not my place. but again, like we're down 14 in the fourth quarter, going into the fourth quarter, and the players just, they bought into the game plan. And even if we're down, there's still a game plan. You still got to lock down on defense, go on offense, go through plays that put our players that put our players in positions to be successful. And we're just fortunate that Hamilton was taking bad shots in Elam. Like, they came down, forced a bunch of terrible three-point shots, and we're fortunate that they were doing that, and that allowed us to be able to turn around and go convert on offense. And our guys, it just shows, again, the grit and grind mentality our players have, and they put in the work prior to the summer series, and it allows them to, even if they're in a hole in the fourth quarter, have that extra juice in the tank to lock down on defense, push it on offense, and convert. And that was a phenomenal game. It had one of the best viewership in the entire tournament. And I think a lot of people in BC are super excited to see what the Fraser Valley Bandits can do next season. And honestly, I think it made a lot of people believers now as well in the type of basketball that's played in the CEBL.
I am officially going to make a petition to the BC Sports Hall of Fame to have that last 2 minutes of the game framed somewhere in there, because that's where it belongs. It's, if the game against Ottawa was a classic, this one, especially, you know, obviously getting the W, is beyond that. It should be framed in a museum, and that's where it belongs.
Yeah, I've watched the last quarter at least 10 times now. It's just phenomenal basketball, and at least on our front, on like how we stayed composed and we just kept going, kept getting after it. You can see our guys are definitely exhausted, but they're still pushing as much as they could. Like, nothing was going to hold them back from getting that defensive stop, getting that rebound, diving for the loose balls, getting tips, and then converting on offense. And just super proud of everyone in the Fraser Valley, on the Fraser Valley Bandits roster, for what they put their bodies through preseason and during the summer series. And they definitely they proved to a lot of people who potentially were overlooking them, whether it be the Canadian national team or other professional teams, and saying, okay, well, you know what, if I can get one of these kind of guys on my roster, I know that they're going to be a high character individual, and they're going to bring this type of energy every game. And really, what else can you ask for out of a professional?
And, you know, last year, it's such a contrast, right? Because we were talking around this time, we're just a couple of weeks off, I guess, but from last year's results, it's such a stark difference, right? So to what do you attribute this year's success and such a drastic change in results from last season?
It's Kyle Julius and the coaching staff. This coaching staff, also the experience at the professional level, relationships with great agents around the world, great relationships with players around the world who are proven champions and really proven professionals in their own right. And really just helped us create that culture of hustle and grind and commitment, not only in the front office level, but now into the basketball operations side as well. And once we had that type of synergy across the whole organization, it was beautiful to be a part of. And even for fans to be able to watch that basketball, now they see it. Like, they see what type of culture we've created here in the Fraser Valley. And it's definitely something I believe a lot of young basketball players across Canada are very proud to see and are excited to see. At least the type of responses we got from basketball organizations from across Canada, just on the type of basketball that we showcased and the culture we had as an organization. They're Bandits fans now, whether they're from BC or not. It's pretty awesome to hear. But no, Kyle Julius and the coaching staff are that main reason. And we're very fortunate to have them involved with our organization. And we're very excited to build upon this for 2021.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Bandit Nation become slightly bigger, if not a lot bigger now after the tournament. It was an amazing run. And obviously in the finals, things didn't go our way. But, you know, absolutely amazing run, especially in such a, you know, once you consider all the conditions around the tournament and obviously the pandemic, the short turnaround between games, I don't think as a fan you could have asked for something more and something better, right?
Yeah, of course. It would have been great if we won. But you know what? Now we have that chip on our shoulder. And we're very excited to build upon what we have had built this year for next year. And we're going to be hungry. Our goal is always going to be championship. And obviously with the culture we've established here, the byproduct could be a championship. And it should put us in a good position every season moving forward to be a contender. So it's just, we'll see what's of course, there's a lot of uncertainty on what's going to be happening. In 2021, surrounding events, I'm not sure if we're going to be looking at a similar safe zone situation with a summer series kind of format, or maybe a longer one, or a short condensed season. I'm not sure, but at the least, what we're going to make sure we do is continue preparing at the front office level and at the basketball operations level, and continue building upon our culture and building a contender.
Did you have a favorite game from the entire series?
Oh, it has to be the Hamilton semifinal. It's just, I think it's everyone's favorite game, whether you're a Bandits fan or not. Like, that was a great showcase of what the Elam ending is. The entire fourth quarter, it has you on the edge of your seat. That's why I've watched the fourth quarter at least 10 times now. just because of, obviously on our end, it's how phenomenal it was. I'm not sure if Hamilton's watching that game. But we've definitely been watching that game, and it's definitely my favorite game from that summer series.
Yeah, I'll try to call the BC Sports Hall of Fame. We need to put that up somewhere. Seriously, it's by far one of the best moments of this year in terms of sports generally. It was such an intense fourth quarter, for sure.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just Junior Cadogan, Olu Ashulu, they're two studs, Junior, a stud at Marquette University, Olu Ashulu at Oregon. Both have had phenomenal professional careers. I know Junior was part of the Pan Am Games when they medaled for the Team Canada. And those two have been together since like their youth, playing on, I believe it was, I don't want to say the wrong club program or prep program, but they played on a prep program in their youth together. And it was great to see them have the opportunity to come for full circle and play together, and then have that moment where pick a roll situation, junior, great composure against, I believe he's been dubbed the defensive player of the year, Briante Weber, being able to take advantage of the gambling in that situation, spin off of him, get the ball to Olu. Olu goes to his signature move, spinning baseline, reverse layup. And 2-3 years ago, that would have been a reverse pram on the defender, but Olu, phenomenal professional, and finished with poise, and it was definitely the moment of the summer series, I would argue.
I think so, yeah. If there was ever a trophy for either best game or best moment, this one should have won it by a landslide, yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
So, Dylan, my last question here, and, you know, again, I'm going to take us back to our last conversation from last year, and you told us that fans could expect big changes from the Bandits and a more competitive team, and the organization delivered. You gave us a more competitive team, you gave us an amazing product, and this goes back out to the entire league, so big shout out to the CEBL and everyone involved in that decision. So what can we expect from the Bandits, and what can Bandit Nation expect in 2021 from the team?
They're just going to see a very similar culture. Players that want to come in, they want to improve daily. They have grit, they have grind, they have hustle. They're committed to the game. They want to develop as individuals, and they really believe in a team concept, and they believe in Kyle Julius and his system. And Kyle Julius, I know, is going to do a phenomenal job in bringing the right people in, and we're very excited to be able to hopefully bring a lot of these players back and build upon what we believe is a definitely contending team. And then, of course, like I said earlier, there's definitely some uncertainty on what events are going to look like, but at least in the front office level, we're going to make sure that we still prepare for potentially fans in arena, or what it will look like with fans not in arena, or if we need to adhere to physical distancing standards and what that looks like, and making sure we still have a very high, like a premium entertainment product for people in BC. And at least in the off season, we have a lot of great plans in the book that we'll be announcing very soon, and how we'll engage with communities. I know there won't be many events in the fall, but there's still a lot of ways we can engage with people across BC, whether it's youth basketball or charitable events, etc. We're going to make sure that we're still involved in the community, because that's one of our pillars. We want to be recognized in the community as people who really care and are involved and want to support the growth of community, whether it's basketball or not. So we're just going to continue hustling and growing this product and growing the Fraser Valley Bandits, because it is a great opportunity for Canadians to now have that pathway at where you can be a youth basketball player, go through the club system, go through high school programs, potentially go youth sports or Div 1, and then play in the Canadian League Basketball League afterwards in the summer, or then go play overseas. Like, there's never been this pathway before. We're able to go at least through high school club programs to youth sports to professional league in Canada. And we want to obviously see this be successful, because this could be big for the sport in Canada. Like, you see these leagues in Spain and Australia, been around for decades, and the basketball, the level is just, it's at such a high across the whole country. And if we're able to be that element that is, like, bringing these basketball groups together and really showcasing the pathway, and hopefully have players from BC, more players from BC on our roster. There's a lot of great talent coming up through the youth ranks, and we just really hope we're able to showcase these players on our team in the future. And that's our ultimate goal.
That's absolutely wonderful. Dylan, before we sign off, where can people see more Bandits content? Because like you mentioned, you know, it's the off season, but Bandits basketball never stops. So where can they consume and reach out to the Bandits?
Yeah, I think it's go to our website, thebandits.ca, or go to our social media platforms, with Fraser Valley Bandits on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And I believe we have the best social media platforms in the entire league, aside from the league office. And that's a testament to our team here, and make sure that we create that engaging content, high quality content, for people to really understand what kind of product this is and what they could be a part of. And yeah, we're very excited to
bring more people along the ride and showcase Canadian basketball.
Let's do it, Bandit Nation. Jump on that social media. And Dylan, thank you again for being on the, for helping bring basketball back to Canada. It was such an amazing season, and thank you for giving people here in BC and to all the players and to the coaching staff, of course, at the Bandits, you know, a reason to cheer for. I personally lived every Bandits game with intensity, had clammy palms, I yelled, I jumped, I did it all, and I really needed it at that time. And I seriously cannot wait for 2021 to again cheer on for the Bandits. So once again, thank you so much to you, to the team, and to all the staff at the Bandits.
Awesome. No, thank you. I'm just grateful for obviously this opportunity and everyone that's really helped me get to this position in BC and across Canada, obviously with CBL giving me the opportunity to be here. And we're just very fortunate that the BC community, whether it's the basketball community or not, or elsewhere, they're very supportive of everyone in our organization and they're very supportive of this team. And without that support, we wouldn't be anywhere where we are today. So we're all going together and we're excited to build on for 2021. And thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks so much, Dylan. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. We'll be right back.